haunting. A Jewish lady named Mrs. Rosenberg, many years ago, was stranded late one night at a fashionable resort, one that did not admit Jews. The desk clerk looked down at his book and said, "Sorry, no room. The hotel is full." The Jewish lady said, "But your sign says that you have vacancies." The desk clerk stammered, embarrassed, and then said curtly, "You know, Mrs. Rosenberg, that we do not admit Jews here. Now, if you will try the other side of town." Mrs. Rosenberg stiffened noticeably and said, "I'll have you know I converted to your religion." The desk clerk said, "Oh, yeah? Let me give you a little test then. How was Jesus born?" Mrs. Rosenberg replied, "He was born to a virgin named Mary in a little town called Bethlehem." "Very good," replied the hotel clerk. "Tell me more," Mrs. Rosenberg replied. "He was born in a manger." "That's right," said the hotel clerk. "And why was he born in a manger?" Mrs. Rosenberg said loudly so all could hear, "Because a jerk like you in the hotel wouldn't give a Jewish lady a room for the night." That's a good one. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve, the holy night when we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And the world that Jesus came into to give hope is a world that is still very much in the throes of great suffering. There is still much evil present in our world. For the last few weeks, we have been reflecting on the meaning of the Lord's Prayer and different aspects of the labyrinth in Chartres Cathedral. We have moved through many different transformations as a soul. And today we are in the final one. The final line that reads, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And that's actually how the prayer ends. Later, the church added, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever, amen," as a doxology that was added several years later, hundreds of years later, actually, from 1 Chronicles 29:11. In a poem by David. But it ends here, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." That is the last line that Jesus prays in the Lord's Prayer. I think that's very significant because I think one of the gifts to the world that the Christian faith, I think, brings to human consciousness is that we recognize that there is evil. There is a shadow side to our life. We acknowledge that there is evil in the world, and Jesus acknowledges the presence of evil in the world and asks to be delivered from it. But how do we define evil? The best definition I've come across is that evil comes from live backwards. And so evil is that which sets out to destroy life, the opposite of living. Is what is evil. And you and I have all experienced evil, that which feels like it is a direct opposition to being fully alive. And the question that many people ask, and countless books have written about, it's called theodicy, it even has its own name, is where does evil come from? Does evil come from God, or does evil come from an evil one? In Jesus' time, it was believed that evil came from a source that was not God. In our scripture today, from which our Lord's Prayer is derived, where evil comes from is not clarified, it's only acknowledged that it exists and can be translated, "Deliver us from evil," or in other translations, "Deliver us from the evil one." So while we still may not know where evil comes from, I don't know if we can ever know. We know that it does exist and is that which is opposed to goodness and full living. And we know that it comes from nature because we live in an incomplete and imperfect world that can create destructive forces, such as earthquake and high winds and lightning fires and floods, and that our world can throw up diseases and viruses, and that we can be born without the ability to see or hear. So we humans are often at the mercy of an unpredictable earth. And so we know that that is a source of evil, the world itself and its incompleteness. We also know that much destructiveness stems from human beings ourselves. We have the free will to be violent and greedy and self-centered, so much so that we can create all sorts of havoc and conflict and create oppressive systems that prevent people from truly living. And I have never met a human that didn't have to work to overcome an evil in that sense, a challenge that they were needing to overcome. Whether that harm stemmed from a temptation towards destruction from within themselves or came from outside themselves, whether it came via illness or accident, disaster or human cruelty or indifference, financial hardship from oppressive systems, came from the hurt from divorce, from loss, grief, from cruelty of abuse, from temptations of addiction, whether created the chaos for ourselves or some other humans created it for us, or whether it came from nature. All of us have had to overcome challenges, evils that have diminished the fullness of life that have come our way. I know of three ways of overcoming evil. First, trusting that the evil did not come from God. If we believe that harm intentionally came from God, I think that's really hard to overcome. If we think that somehow God is testing us and challenging us for our own good, I think it's really hard to learn to trust a God like that. So I think to overcome evil, we must trust in the goodness of God. And by that I mean a powerful, loving force for good, a spirit moving in the world, and trusting that God is for you and not against you. And how I've come to believe that God is good and that God is love is because I see it all the time in those who follow God. I have learned that it is not in the nature of God to harm. That's the message of Jesus. That's the good news that Jesus brought to the world. That pain and hurt and struggle and suffering do not come from God. They are human-made or nature-made. Someone once said to me, when I had it in my head as a young person, that somehow God was doing something to me, she said, "Jennifer, it is impossible for God to cause harm because God is love. And love does not intentionally set about to harm." That's what love is. Jesus makes it very clear in his prayer that God is not doing the harming in our lives. That's why we pray to God. He encourages us to pray to God by saying, "Deliver us from evil." It was knowing that God was for him that gave Jesus his strength to endure what he endured. His courage came from his trust that God was for him, not against him. Whenever we are striving to do good, something life-giving, whether for ourselves or for others, God is for us. I couldn't overcome any of the struggles in my life if I thought I had to do it all myself. If I didn't feel that there was a power greater than myself cheering me on, believing in me, hoping that we humans are going to overcome the challenges we face, that God wants the very, very best for each one of us. In order to overcome the evil in our lives, we're invited to trust that God is for us, not against us. And though while we may be led into temptation, God is with us in the struggle. Secondly, evil is overcome through love. We don't do this journey alone. God sends us help, so we don't have to do it alone. I have come to believe that God sends angels, heavenly and earthly ones, to help us in our struggle to overcome. Not only is God for us, but your loved ones are also. Parents and grandparents that have gone on before, best friends who have already crossed over, are now cheering you on. Heaven sends us their love and encouragement to overcome life's challenge, because they know what we are just learning. That's the reason why we've even come, to overcome. I remember a woman who was able to communicate with spirits in one of my former churches saying to me, "Jennifer, your guardian angel wants you to know that they are working with your heart, which ever since your divorce has fallen through the floor. And so they are working very hard to lift up your heart and to heal it. The angels are working very hard so you can continue to help and heal and encourage others." I believed her because I knew she was trustworthy. Heaven is for us, not against us. And heaven is always sending help. Out of the blue, you've noticed, people will come across your path to help you when you needed it most. I watched this and witnessed this several weeks ago. Rain and I were called by Tina, the woman that we in our congregation were helping, who is living on our property for the summer. She texted us saying that her car had broken down and she was struggling with her car, which was falling apart, and she was stuck in the Chevron parking lot. So we went over there, then Rain had to leave, and I spent much of the day with Tina. Me, who knows nothing about fixing cars, trying to get it working. And I watched as 5 different people were sent her way. The kind people at the Chevron, who let her stay in their parking lot until she could fix it. Mary Ellen Campbell from Knox came and gave her $20 so that she had something to eat. When I went to Lordco to perhaps purchase her a battery, I explained to him what was happening to her car, and he said, "You don't need to spend the money on a battery. This is what you need to do. You need to get out, crawl under the car and hit it with a hammer at this certain place." I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" He said, "Yep, go do it." I said, "Okay." And when I arrived, I shared that information with Tina. And then while we were trying to locate that part and couldn't quite find it, and she's under the car trying to locate it, and I'm shining a flashlight, this fellow shows up from a security system. He just gets out. He said, "Are you having some trouble?" "Yeah." We explain the problem. He goes, "Oh, this is the part." And he spent half an hour trying to find the part for us. Then sure enough, I turn the key, Tina hit the hammer, hit it, and up it started. And off she went. And I was amazed. I said, "Tina, do you realize how many angels were sent to you today? I counted 5 in a matter of hours." She was not alone. Many angels, messengers of good news, that's what an angel is, a messenger of good news, had been sent to help her that day. When we pray for help, when we have the humility to ask for help, God's cyberspace works. Help will come. And then all we have to do is recognize all the angels God has sent to help. And thirdly, evil is overcome through a shift in perspective, a shift away from fear to love. If we are truly to have the strength to overcome evil, we need to understand that when we shift our awareness, our perspective, the way we look at the evil before us, from a challenge that feels like it could destroy us, into a pathway that is moving towards a gift for our soul growth, somehow we find the strength and inner courage to overcome. If we can shift our feeling of being a victim, and it feels like we are being victimized when we are going through evil, but if we can shift that to being a victor over the challenge, enormous inner strength and courage arrives for us as gift, and our souls are grown. We discover that the challenges that almost destroyed us actually forged us, transformed us. The darkness actually helped us and forced us to discover our light, our purpose, our value. A woman I met was struggling to overcome cancer, which was threatening to extinguish her life. And so her mother told me about her daughter, and so I met with her and I led her through a healing visualization. And after it was completed, she said to me, after a couple hours, she said, "Jennifer, I don't know if this visualization cured me of my cancer. I don't know if it did or didn't. But I know for certain now that I am healed. Maybe not cured, but healed. Because I've experienced the power of God's love moving me so deeply. I am so overwhelmed, overcome with love. It has so filled my heart that I feel like my heart is going to explode. I am no longer afraid of either cancer or death. I am truly free." I think this woman was delivered from evil. In the movie It's a Wonderful Life, George, a man played by Jimmy Stewart, is overcome by the threat of losing his livelihood. He feels like an incredible failure, and he considers ending his life by jumping off a bridge. He is so disheartened, so full of fear and failure. He feels as though everyone in his life would have been better off if he'd never been born. But we all know the story. An angel named Clarence is sent to help him, to give him a glimpse into what the town he lives in and all the people in his life would have been like if George had never existed. And through seeing his life through a different perspective, through contemplation means simply with the temple. So seeing with God's perspective. To contemplate is to see something through the eyes of God. When he begins to see his life through a heavenly lens, a heavenly perspective, he discovers the value of his own existence.
To me. Get me back to my wife and kids. Help me, Clarence, please. Please. I want to live again. I want to live again. I want to live again. Please, God, let me live again. Hey, George. You all right? Hey, what's the matter?
Now get out of here, Berger. I'll hit you again. Get out of here.
What the Sam Hill you yelling for, George?
You... George. Berg, do you know me?
Know you? You kidding? I've been looking all over town trying to find you. I saw your car piled into that tree down there, and I thought maybe you... Hey, your mouth's bleeding. Are you sure you're all right?
What you... My mouth's bleeding, Burge! My mouth's bleeding! Zuzu pedals! Zuzu... There they are! Burge! What do you know about that? Merry Christmas!
Well, Merry Christmas!
Mr. Bailey, there's a deficit.
I know, $8,000.
George, I've got a little paper.
I'll bet it's a warrant for my arrest. Isn't it wonderful? I'm going to jail. Merry Christmas, reporters. Where's Mary? Mary? Oh, look at this wonderful old drafty house. Mary? 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 Have you seen my wife?
Mary? Mary?
I could eat you up. Where's your mother?
So we're looking for you.
With Uncle Billy.
Daddy!
Zuzu! Zuzu, my little ginger snap. How do you feel?
Fine. Not a smidge of temper.
Not a smidge of temper. Hallelujah.
Hello. George.
George, darling.
Mary.
Mary. George, darling. Where are you?
Oh, oh George.
Mary.
George. George.
Oh, let me touch you. Let me touch you. Are you real? Oh,
George.
You have no idea what's happened to me.
I have no idea what happened. Well, come on, George. Come on downstairs. Quick, right. They're on their way.
All right.
Come on. Come on in here now. Now you stand right over here by the tree. Right there. And don't move. Don't move.
What's happening?
Oh, I hear them coming out. George, it's a miracle. It's a miracle.
Come in, Uncle Billy. Everybody in here.
George,
get out of here.
She told some people you were in trouble with it. They scattered all over town collecting money. Didn't ask any questions, just said, George in trouble. And tell me, you never saw anything like it. Spread like fire.
Another run on the bank? Here,
George. Merry Christmas.
Now, don't worry. There we are. The line forms on the right. The line forms on the far.
Clark, come in, George. Now, don't worry.
Now get this. It's from London.
Oh.
Mr. Gower cabled you need cash. Stop.
My office instructed to advance you up to $25,000. Stop. Oh. Hee-haw and Merry Christmas, Sam Wainwright.
Telegram. Good idea, Ernie. A toast to my big brother George, the richest man in town.
Present from a very dear friend of mine.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right. That's right.
Attaboy, Clarence.
The best Christmas movie of all time reminds us that heaven really does love us and believes in us, that heaven really does send angels to help us, and that our lives, no matter how challenging or difficult, have spiritual purpose, that every life is important and meaningful, and that the good we do really does make a difference, that when we love, together we can overcome evil. The story of the Christ child being born into a sad and weary world is a story of divine love birthed into a world to remind us how to love one another, because it's a power of love that can overcome any evil. Because when we truly love one another, when we truly help one another, we can overcome. This Christmas, as we face a world that often feels as if it's falling apart, let us trust in the goodness of a God who loves us. Let us trust in the Christmas angels that are sent to help us. And let us trust in our own perspective and shift that perspective that comes from knowing that there is purpose and a gift, a Christmas gift, in the midst of it all, our own soul's growth. May it be so.